I think your $27 microphone is really doing very well. Okay, so you got the idea that God the Father gives gifts that are like Him to us, that orient our lives to order and direct who we are. God the Son gives us gifts. Well, that are like ministry offices, that are the way that you, there we go. These are not, it's not a an exhaustive list, it's a representative list. That the Son gives gifts to the church of offices that people fill. But the church, remember, is the body of Christ, not the institutional gathering alone. And that the gifts of the Son for ministry offices can be things that are listed here, or they could be other things like being a school teacher or a nurse, a graphic artist, painter, sculptor, doctor, lawyer, Indian chief, right? So God, Jesus can call people to flesh out their identity in that that kind of serving. The best way to find out what you're called to do and express your identity is by asking other people in the body. They will talk with you about things that you're interested in, but the body then helps steer us into what it is that we're called to do, and the body will affirm that. And when people want to do things that the body doesn't affirm, then they're probably on the wrong track. Have a fellow who's been in our ordination system. We work with several different churches and have authentications of ordained ministry vocation. He's been to a number of churches that he's worked with, and they all said, we see no ordained ministry in this guy. And then he's coming back to me saying, but I'm absolutely convinced I'm supposed to be ordained. But I'm saying we can't go forward with that when the body doesn't authenticate it. The body has to authenticate what happens. And now along the way, to express love and call things to life, when we open our lives to the power of the Holy Spirit, then there's this whole cornucopia of gifts that God gives. It used to be 20 years ago when people were talking about spiritual gifts. One person would say, well, my gift is I speak in tongues. Another one would say, well, mine's being an apostle. Somebody else says, well, I'm an evangelist. Mine's administration or mercy or whatever. Putting them all like they were all on a table and you just pick up the card that matches you. But what I'm suggesting is that there should be three different inquiries that happen. One is, how has God made me? What motivational gifting has He given me? And then secondly, what is God, the Son, calling me to do? And then the third thing is, are you willing to invite Him to work in your life supernaturally and through your life supernaturally? And if you are, then He will pour out these gifts as He determines. Look at what this says. The manifestation of the gift, the Spirit, is given to each one for the profit of all. To one is given a word of wisdom through the Spirit. To another, a word of knowledge through the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the discerning of spirits. To another, different kind of tongues. And to another, the interpretation of tongues. So these are supernatural gifts that are given by God to meet needs in the body. Not merit badges to make people feel better about themselves, But they are workings that God does in us and through us in order to bear fruit to extend the kingdom. A word of wisdom. If you have a thorny problem and you get the answer, what's the most important thing? Who delivered the word of wisdom, or that you got the answer you needed? Yeah, that you get the answer. And so Jesus, what's an example of Jesus manifesting a word of wisdom? Think of his ministry. Think of the interactions that Jesus had. Perfect. The Samaritan woman. Well, actually, there's wisdom there, but he also used another one. That's the next one, was the word of knowledge, right? Because he said, you've had five husbands, the man you're with now is not your own, right? But it was wise, I mean, the way he handled her. Another one? What about one of the times they tried to trap Jesus? What did they do to trap him? Is it lawful to pay taxes? And so how did Jesus answer that? Give to Caesar what's Caesar's, and give to God what's God's. So he was so wise, he was not able to be trapped. The woman caught in adultery. What did he say there? Should we stone her or not? If we stone her, then all your talk about mercy goes up in smoke. If we don't stone her, then you're denying the law. So what do you have to say? And Jesus said, one without sin cast the first stone. And they went away, beginning with the eldest, the ones who'd had more practice sinning. Then a word of knowledge is something that you know, but you didn't get from natural means. It could be it could be anything. I talked to a man who was on an airplane, and on the plane they went to put the landing gear down and the gear didn't come down. And that's not a good situation. There's excessive friction when you don't have the wheels working. Actually, I think it was even worse. I think one of the main landing gear went down and the other one didn't. So that's even worse than, they say it takes full throttle to taxi without the wheels, but with only one down, then that's really bad because, you know, the plane veers off or whatever. And he said to the flight attendant, tell them they have to depower the number two hydraulic system so that the latch on the other gear will release. And it took a while. She finally said that to the people up front, and they said, huh, well, let's try it. So they turned the number two hydraulic system off and the gear fell down, and they were able to land safely. And they came back and said, are you like an aeronautical engineer? And he said, no. He said, I was just praying, and Jesus just spoke to me clear as a bell, depower the number two hydraulic system and the gear will come down. And they said, if we'd known it could come from Jesus, we probably wouldn't have done it. But he said, well, then you wouldn't have been in big trouble. So it's a good thing that you listened to him, even though you didn't know you were listening to him. So that was a word of knowledge. Another time, I was in Taita Taveta, Kenya. And we've been having a great time at church. And if you think services go long here, take you to Kenya. And in rural Kenya, it just goes on and on and on. And people having a great time and Holy Spirit doing things and people's lives getting changed. And it was a great day. The village ne'er-do-well drunk came to Christ and got struck by the Holy Spirit and was sober as a judge in an instant. And that started off the day. And so it just went on and on and on. So we were there too late. and we're driving back to Nairobi, and it's like a 4 or 5 hour drive. It's very dangerous to be out on the road after dark. And we're driving along. My driver back then was named John. And he said, Bishop. They say, they call bishops, say, it's like you go to a shop where you'd get bees, you know, Bishop. He said, don't be nervous. I'm going to leave my side of the road. And I said, John, it's dark. Why do you want to leave your side of the road? There's a hill coming, and we don't know what's on the other side of the hill. And he said, oh, I know what's on the other side. God told me. There are things in the road that the robbers have put there so that we would run over them, and it will blow out our tires, and then they would rob us and maybe kill us. So I will go to the other side of the road so I don't hit them. And I said, and you know this how? He said, well, Jesus told me. So, okay. So we went over the hill on the wrong side of the road, very steep hill, and came over just over the crest of the hill on the other side of the road. Sharp boulders had been laid out in the road. We went past that and then went back onto our side of the road and kept driving back to Nairobi. I was very thankful for a word of knowledge from John. Another manifestation of the Spirit is a gift of faith. And now that's not just ordinary faith, is the faith to believe that God saves us, that He loves us, that He'll help us. When there is a spiritual gift of faith like this, it is a manifestation that is so convicting, it elicits faith in other people. And so when someone says, it's going to be all right, not just cheerleading, but when it is a spiritual manifestation, it just floods through and people respond with faith. It elicits faith in other people. Healing. A lot of people think that they have gifts of healing. If they pray for somebody and that person gets healed, the person who got the gift of healing was the person who got healed. The person that prayed for them was an intercessor. The reason I say that is, if you have the gift of healing, then it's yours to do with as you will. So you go down and clean out the hospital, and when you've cleaned out the hospital, then we'll talk. Until then, you're just praying for healing, and the person who gets the gift of healing is the person who gets healed. And we're supposed to do that. We're supposed to pray for people, and they're supposed to get healed. If we don't ask, it's not going to happen. Or very rarely will happen. When I pray for somebody and they get healed, it's terrific. We're just sharing at the break. Yesterday, had a great phone call. A little baby we've been praying for since 1987. I've been with this group of pastors, except for a little break. We've been praying every week. And one of the guys has a grandchild that was diagnosed with Down syndrome. Last month, the baby had a hole in its heart. It's very common with Downs. And we prayed that the hole would go away, and we went in for the checkup, and the baby's heart was healed. Doctor said, other than intervention from God, we just don't see this. This is spontaneously closed. There is no hole in the heart and no evidence that there was ever one there. So we kept praying, and we were praying that the baby would be delivered and would be free of Down syndrome. Baby born yesterday, free of Down syndrome after a diagnosis. Obviously, hallelujah, terrific, wonderful news. Sometimes we'll pray and there doesn't seem to be any change physically. Here's what I don't do. I don't say to the person that we pray for, boy, there's something wrong with you. Because we pray. When I was first out of seminary, one of my first hospital calls, I wasn't even ordained yet. I was walking down the hall and I heard somebody sobbing. And so I stuck my head into this lady's room and said, "Can I help you?" And she said, "I'm just heartbroken." And I said, "Do you want to tell me about it?" And she said, "People from my church just came." And I said, "Then why are you upset? Didn't they encourage you?" And she said, "No. They said they prayed for me to be healed, and because I wasn't healed, I either had unconfessed sin or a lack of faith, and so I was no longer welcome in the congregation." And so she's sobbing. And I talked with her and prayed with her and told her, "That didn't come from God. You have stupid friends." If we pray for somebody and they don't get healed, they need better people praying. And so I ask God to work on me. And I'll even tell people, "You know, I'd be glad to pray for you. I'm not as good at this as Jesus. He did real well with this. But I know he does heal people, and I'd be glad to pray with you if you'd like to do that." But if they don't seem to have relief, or they don't seem to be healed right then, there's nothing wrong with God, and it's not anything with them that I blame. I just say, "You need a better person to pray. I'm still working on it." But we should be praying for people, and the more we pray, the better we get at it, and the more we're going to see people healed. Working a miracle, same thing. Miracles are innovations on the natural order of things. God doesn't have to do that, but he seems to like to do it. An interesting thing about healing and miracles is they seem to come in clumps and clusters. So if we have a healing service, say, and we pray for somebody and they have an ankle get healed, I'm going to ask, "Anybody else have any problem with your ankle or your foot?" I don't know why, but it seems like God will be in a foot and ankle mood, or a low back pain mood, or some other kind of mood, and that if you see one happen, assume there's an open door for more of it to happen, and pursue, and just ask, "Anybody else in that same category?" And oftentimes you'll see a whole series of people healed. I had one service, a crazy thing, where somebody came up and she wanted prayer, and she said, "I have a prodigal son. He's just absolutely lost in the wilderness and just want prayer for him. So would you pray?" And so we prayed, and she said, "I don't know, but I just really feel this supernatural sense of peace, like God is just reaching down right now and touching my son." So I said, "Anybody else got a prodigal son or daughter do you want to get prayer for?" And it was like 60 people in this. It was a big congregation, but there were like 60 people that were just burdened by prodigal sons and daughters. And we never would have known. Here's a crazy one. One of our clergy in the diocese went for Restoring the Foundations. It's an inner healing ministry where you go through a week of a couple ministering to an individual. And the first day, Dan and Ruan Bance are the ministers that we've been working with. Dan started to get up to go into the room to meet the priest who had come. And he said to his wife, "Pray for me. I've got this horrible pain in my lower left back." And she put her hand on him and she said, "I think it's like a word of knowledge that we're supposed to be praying for a lower left back healing." And he said, "Okay," but she prayed for him. They went in, talked to the guy, and he said, "After we visit for a while, maybe I should get up because I have a lot of trouble with my back." And Dan said, "Lower left?" And he said, "Yes. So let's pray." He said, "It's hurting now." "Yes." And so they prayed for him. Boom. Healed, stopped hurting. It's been a week now. No pain since. And this has been years of pain. Sometimes God will give us a sympathetic pain. Your knee will hurt when you're about to pray for somebody that has a knee problem. And so they might not have said anything, because the priest who was visiting with him didn't say anything about back pain. But if you're going to pray with somebody and suddenly you don't have a history of your knee hurting and suddenly your knee hurts or your elbow hurts or something, you have a problem with your elbow? You have a problem with your knee? Sometimes the Lord will do that. I don't know why he does that. I guess he likes it to do stuff like that. But we can learn from it that when he does that, the incidence of dramatic recovery is higher than when there isn't something like that. prophetic words are, it's the mind of Christ, the mind of God, being expressed to people to impact their will, the decisions that they make, and it's interpreted through the heart of the person who's speaking the prophetic word. So, if God's desire is to speak a word to somebody of peace, say he wants to speak peace to you, if the person who is open to being used by God is a sailor, then that person might say, God wants to tell you you've got calm seas ahead. If the person is a shepherd, then they might say, God wants to tell you there are green pastures waiting for you. It's essentially the same thing, if it's interpreted through the experience and the heart of the person who's speaking. God does not send prophetic words now, like it was in the Old Testament. Things have changed since the cross. Now prophetic words are for encouragement and edification to build people up. So if somebody thinks that they have a word from God, that they're supposed to say, I hate you all, you're stupid jerks. That's not God. That's coming from someplace else. Either their own flesh or from the devil. I'll tell you about that in a minute. But a prophetic word is speaking a truth about God's kingdom to somebody's life, not necessarily about what's going to happen in the future. So not like foretelling, but forthtelling, calling them to life and affirming something that's in their life. When we have confirmations, I'll always pray and ask the Lord for a word for the people who are getting confirmed. And he does wonderful things. I mean, just great things. But it doesn't happen because I'm a bishop. It happens because I'm willing to step out and do that. And you can have prophetic words for people too. It's very important. You have to be under authority. And you have to be willing to test the prophetic words against Scripture. And a great way to do that is to get something and write it down and then bring it to the clergy here and say, I think God's saying this. What do you think? Is this genuine? And they're responsible for ensuring that things are truly from God or not. And so they may say, that's really great. Let's share that with the body. Or they may say, doesn't resonate, pray more, come back later with another thing and we'll see. The discerning of spirits. Discernment of spirits always accompanies any spiritual gift that is manifest. Because when you're dealing with supernatural things, you need to have a litmus test to be able to tell if it's genuine or not. And so who will get that discernment is either the person who has the spiritual responsibility for that venue, home group leader, parish, or a person in that venue that the person who is responsible trusts. So, for example, if somebody had a prophetic word in church that they shared, and I didn't have clarity on whether it was genuinely from God or if it was just something the person was saying, I might, you know, look at Father Ward and say, what do you think? And because I trust him, if he goes thumbs up or thumbs down, then I've got an answer. So it's either the person who is spiritually responsible for that venue or a person that that person who's responsible trusts will get the discernment to be able to say yay or nay that this was either genuine or not. It's usually not a contest. Over the years, I've seen lots of genuine words from the Lord, lots of genuine spiritual things that have happened in church things, quite a few things that are fleshly, that are just human strength, and only twice have I seen things that were demonic. They were dark, awful, and terrible, made you want to throw up, and it was so obviously terrible and bad and whatever, hardly needed to say anything because everybody knew that this was bad. But here's my rule of thumb. If somebody shares a word or a gift or something and the authority structure believes that it's genuine, then it should be highlighted so it can be responded to and obeyed. If they feel like it's from the flesh, that it's just a human thing of somebody saying, "Thus says the Lord, I am the great shepherd," and didn't have any real traction or whatever. It was a biblical word, so it's not obnoxious, but it didn't have any life on it. When there's something that's in the flesh, we ignore it. If there's something that is demonic, then we identify it and repudiate it. I've only had to do that twice in 40 years. Most of the time, words will be genuinely inspired by the Holy Spirit, and gifts that are received well will be fruitful. They will encourage people and will bear fruit. Why would God do that? Why wouldn't God just say, "Well, I gave it to you in the Bible, so just run with that"? It's because He loves being in relationship. He likes to speak to us. He likes to use us. He likes to include us. He doesn't require us to advance His kingdom, but He chooses to use us to advance His kingdom. And I think He just enjoys having us grow in faithfulness. But if you never step out and ask the Lord to move in your life supernaturally, or move through your life supernaturally, then you're going to miss out on a whole dimension of stuff. So what we have in the body, in the church, is we have an authority structure where there's a bishop, but I'm not here all the time. And so you have a local authority, and then there are other clergy here. Father Thibault as well, maybe better educated than I am. So if you got a thorny theological question, he may be better suited than I to address that and say, "No, that's a Ratcha Fratcha Pelagian heresy or something."
Ratcha Fratcha happens to be my favorite.
Yeah, it's a big heresy. You know, it happens a lot. But I mean, you know, we have the structure, we have the authority structure, and the body has the ability to affirm what is genuinely from God. Now, they're not the only ones that can speak with authority, but when we want to know if something is from God, if we ask, He will show us, and the certainty of that will be a circle that spreads. And when the authority structure says this was genuine, we really need to take seriously, that the Lord says that we really have some major issues that we have to deal with in elections that are coming up. We have to be very careful about some things that are happening in the culture socially, and take that seriously and fast and pray for them or whatever. As that gets traction, then we become more faithful and more fruitful. So here's the deal. You don't have to be open to the power of the Holy Spirit to work in your life and work through your life. But What a terrible poverty it is to refuse that. It'd be like living in this amazing, beautiful mansion filled with wonderful art and furniture and banquets and other things like that, and choosing to live in the broom closet. Never want to go out of the broom closet. I'm comfortable here in the broom closet. I know the limits of the broom closet. I've got my own broom. It's terrific here in the broom closet. I have my own pole string light, little sink here in the broom closet. Got pretty much everything I need. But it's not the mansion that God prepared for you. Because God is good, I don't think there's any downside in saying to him, work in me supernaturally and work through me supernaturally. So I'm going to give you an invitation, then we'll move to some questions. Three little simple prayers. We didn't get to talk about tongues and interpretation. Maybe we'll do it Sunday. Do the inflammatory stuff when everybody's here. How's that?
Yeah.
First question is, have you said yes to Jesus as Lord in your life, and do you want to reaffirm his lordship in your life?
Yes.
Yes, okay. So that means that sets the stage, so it's okay then for us to ask, would you like to invite the Lord to work in you supernaturally and through you supernaturally?
Yes.
Okay. What did the scripture say we read earlier? He will give the Holy Spirit to those who?
Yes.
So did we ask?
Yes.
So he is releasing the power of his Holy Spirit in you. That means wherever there is a need for a supernatural gift of the Spirit to be manifest, that he can use you if you're open to it. It says it's given to each one individually as he wills. So the Holy Spirit sitting there saying, we're in 7-Eleven. Is there anybody here that's open to manifesting a gift of the Spirit? Jim, you're on. Jim. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I want to use you. It's that simple and straightforward. To just be aware of the possibility that God might want to use you supernaturally. And he'll poke you. Say, show me. Show me how you want to do this. So when somebody says, I'm worried about my health, you can pray with them. And pray with power. Jesus, you're Lord of all things. Be Lord of this body and bring healing. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, one of the things I'll do if I'm with somebody I don't know, I will give them my phone number and say, I want to be held accountable. So you can get back to me. If what I told you doesn't seem to work, or if you don't have any progress with healing, you know, feel free to get back and complain. And I'm working on trying to be better at it. But I don't like the drive-by prayers where people don't have any investment in stuff and you don't have any connection. But imagine what would happen to this area if we all got released out there to manifest Holy Spirit power in people's lives. It'd be amazing. It'd be amazing. Okay, we have a new expensive whiz-bang microphone.
That's right. Is it working?
Yes.
Now it is. Okay, who would like to ask the bishop a question? Just raise your hand and I'll run right over to you. All right, on the other side. I love it. It's good exercise here. Yeah.
Hi,
comes, and how do other people?
That's a. Touch it to your lips. How do you start speaking in tongues? Right? Is that the question?
Right. How do I receive the gift of speaking in tongues, and how do others?
That's actually a wonderful question, and it's very simple. Over the years, everybody that I've prayed with to receive a prayer language has. We'll talk more about it this weekend, but it's very simple. Affirm your commitment to Christ. Affirm that you want the gift of the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. Ask Him for a prayer language. And then speak, but not English. Just speak whatever syllables come. Because the Holy Spirit will then shape what you speak to be a perfect prayer. On the day of Pentecost, they spoke languages that they hadn't learned. And, of course, they still didn't know them when they spoke them on the day of Pentecost. That's one type. Another type is tongues with interpretation, where somebody says something and then it's interpreted, not translated, but interpreted like a prophetic word. The third type is a devotional prayer language where the Holy Spirit is giving you the utterance, is what it's called. So without saying anything, think of the first few words of the Lord's Prayer. Got that? Okay. Now that feels to me like it's somewhere back here in the back of my head. Wherever that is in your brain, that's called your speech center. It's where thoughts are turned to words, or when you're hearing, words are turned to thoughts. Right? That is bypassed when somebody is praying in the Spirit or praying in tongues. So if that's not being used, what you're used to of having the sounds be related to concepts, pew, carpet, light, chair, those sounds are related to things, but when someone is praying and the utterance for the prayer is given by the Holy Spirit, it is shaped by the Holy Spirit. So it may feel like random syllables, but I don't think if you affirm your commitment to Christ, pray for the power of the Holy Spirit, ask for a prayer language, and then begin to speak syllables, I don't think they're random. I think the Holy Spirit then, according to 1 Corinthians 14, where Paul says, I would that all of you spoke in tongues. It'd be better if you prophesied, but you're built up when you pray in tongues. It's great. I don't think you're capable of making random syllable sounds. They're being motivated by the Holy Spirit. So if the syllable you think of is Ra, that didn't come from your speech center, that came from the Holy Spirit. So you just speak those syllables that come, and God will be shaping. Now, it may seem awkward, but I think angelically they're listening in, and they hear a prayer that, you know, it sounds like gibberish to us, but to them, they hear our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. So it sounds gibberishly, randomly, whatever, but it's not random. And what will happen is, as we move past the awkwardness of it, then it just flows. And the beautiful thing is, your intellect is not involved in it, and so your intellect can be devoted to whatever your task is at hand. I took off one time from Frankfurt, Germany, the AeroVac airplane full of patients, hit 100 feet and got an engine siren and fire alarm. It would not have been a good idea, 100 feet in the clouds with an engine fire, to say, all right, crew, every head bowed, every eye closed. We're going to pray now that God will lead and guide and direct us. That would not been a good thing. But I could pray in the Spirit while I'd say, co-pilot, run the engine fire checklist. And I'm praying in the Spirit. My intellect was focused on flying the plane, but my spirit was in communion with the Lord. So you can do that. Go home tonight. A lot of people say getting in a shower seems to help. So you can pray in the shower or lie in bed and pray and just see. But don't speak English. Just say, I want to speak whatever syllables you want to give me and see what happens. It's amazing. Another question. Spiritual gift of motorcycles here.
That does help the prayer language.
There you go.
Could you just comment on people that are maybe new to this, where they may get spiritual resistance to it and how they would pray against that?
You mean gifts in general or prayer language?
All of it.
Okay. Gifts in general, that's a wonderful, wonderful tee up shot for me. Thank you so much. Who does not want you moving in the power of the Holy Spirit? The devil, right? Does God, the Father, want you moving in the power of the Spirit? God the Son, God the Holy Spirit? Yes? But the devil doesn't. So, is he going to show up with horns and a tail and a pitchfork and say, don't you pray for healing? No, that's just going to motivate you more to pray. So what he's going to say is, you're not really holy enough. You're not really good enough for this. You don't know enough scripture. You know, I know about that sin you haven't confessed to anybody. And, you know, think about that. You're just worthless. So most of the resistance is going to come from the devil trying to throw stuff in front of you. In the wonderful book by C.S. Lewis called Screwtape Letters, that the demons are talking and one of them says, he's going to start his devotions. How do we stop him? Suggest he needs a sandwich. Just remind him of how tasty a sandwich is. He wants to get us off track. And so that's what he'll do. I mean, and most of it will not be overt. It'll be either denigrating your spiritual life or distractions or other things like
that. And it may even be saying that you don't really need it. You're doing fine. Just the way you are.
Yeah, so, just the way you are is fine.
I don't need any of that stuff. I love the Lord, and I don't want to move in it because they're either afraid of it or, you know, maybe you think it's a little weird.
Yeah, and people will think you're weird. You start talking about that, they're going to think you're odd and, you know, whatever. But don't worry, you can't be as odd as Father Ward and me. Well, okay, you can't be as weird as me.
Where's the next question coming from?
Anybody
Anyone
else?
Any other questions? Going once, going twice. All right.
Can you operate in more than one of the gifts? And can everyone think that they have a gift from the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit?
Yes. That you have been given gifts by the Father that motivate you. And it's usually a mix. One will probably stand out, like leading or serving, giving, teaching, whatever. But there'll be a mix. And then the Son will give you as a gift to the church to fulfill some ministry office. That will always be the case. He's trying to do that. The Holy Spirit gifts, though, are transient. They are given, individually given by the Holy Spirit, as they are needed, so they will come and go. I've never given a public message in tongues for interpretation, for example. I suppose I could, but I never felt led to do that. I've seen most of the other things operate. But it just depends on what is the circumstance of the day, of what God needs to do, and who he's got that's available and open to being used. So the fact that you've never been used before for a word of wisdom doesn't mean that you can't have a word of wisdom tomorrow when there's a thorny problem that needs a solution. You know, if you ask, Lord, do you have a word, a solution for this? And he may very well tell you. But it wouldn't be that you would be the only one or the always. I was visiting a church. I had some friends at a Pentecostal church in New Jersey. It was actually a wonderful a wonderful place, and some of the people, I love the pastor there. When I first met the Lord, he was very kind in giving me a lot of time in terms of Bible study with me and discipling me, even though he said, I know you're never going to be in my church, but God told me he had a plan for your life, and I was supposed to pour into you whatever I could. Well, I was at their church one night, and somebody stood up and spoke in tongues, and there was a gasp in the congregation. I said, what's wrong? It was just a message in tongues. There'll be an interpretation. And they said, no, Sister Johnson is the interpreter. And I said, well, where is she? She's in Florida. And she was always the one who interpreted whenever there was a message in tongues, and she wasn't there. And so what do we do? I said, well, surely somebody else, you know, God can lead somebody else. And they eventually did. But they were so used to that if there was a message in tongues, then Sister Johnson was the one who would deliver the interpretation to the congregation. And she wasn't going to do that from Florida. So we don't need to get in a rut. We can be open to God working in us and through us. But these come and go as God needs them. Needs a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge. There's a lot about the words of knowledge that are just absolutely wonderful. They open the door into people's lives. I have a friend who's amazing at it. I mean, absolutely amazing. I mean, he'll say, May 17th mean anything to anybody? And somebody will say, it's my birthday. Who's Suzanne? That's my sister. You know, what's Maple Lane? That's my address. And then what he says is that when God gives those words of knowledge, that their heart then is open to hear a word of encouragement at a deeper level than they would hear without that. And so I'm thinking, yeah, and what about when you get it wrong? You know, so, and there's always risk. You know, there's always risk in manifesting supernatural gifts. But now think about this. If God is good and he loves us and he wants us to grow in the Spirit, what's going to happen if we make a mistake? Purgatory or grace? We get grace and we learn and grow. And I also think he will give us ways to recover from our mistakes.
Any other questions? Oh, here's another one. Okay.
It's a little frustrating because I feel as if when you and I are face to face and we're talking, that dialogue seems to go both ways. But when I'm praying, I don't hear the other side. I mean,
that's a great question too.
Missing
these are all class A questions tonight. This is really super. We get better at it as we do it more. If you will say, Lord, I want to pour out my heart to you. Now, what would you like to say to me? Right? Now you can prime the pump. And here's something that a lot of people don't do, and so they don't hear from him as well. You prime the pump with hearing God's voice by expressing appreciation to him for things that he has already done in your life. And there's something about that that opens up the pathway of communication. So if you tell him stuff, part of what you ought to tell him is things that you appreciate that he has done, and then say, what do you want to say to me? Ask him. And then I would recommend writing it down and see what happens.
Any other questions? Okay, I have one. What would you suggest, Bishop, would be some of the ways that we can move in this direction more fully? Certainly tonight is one example of that because we're talking about it and we're kind of getting reacquainted with the scriptures pertaining to this. But how would you suggest us as a parish to move forward more fully in the power of the Spirit and with the exercise of gifts?
Also, excellent question. a declared openness is one thing. Secondly, practicing in small groups. To say, when you have a small group Bible study, does anybody have a word for anybody that's here? You know, a word of encouragement or a word of healing or a word of, you know, a prophetic word or whatever. And then share that and have the group then weigh it and say, how much traction does that have? Does that seem helpful? And, you know, there was a priest in England who's with the Lord now named David Watson. And he said the best prophecy he'd ever heard was an 80 percenter. What he meant by that was that it was 80% God and 20% human. You know, partly the person's personality and partly from God. But just say, what of what I've shared with you seems to be to have traction that it is genuinely spiritual? And do that in small groups. I would also recommend having one small group of people who are particularly keen to pursue spiritual gifts, where you study. There's several great books about that could be done. And try some stuff and ask the Lord to give words for the church. And when you have those, you know, pray over them. And when you get agreement from the leadership, you know, this is really something from the Lord, then share it with the Lord, because if it's from God, then we want to respond to it and obey it. But give people the chance to do that. And when you have that invitation, then more of it will bubble up. And the other thing that we're going to do Sunday that will be fun is, besides just what I will share with people, we're going to ask if other people have any promptings from the Lord to share with the people who are being confirmed too. And then we'll see. I won't have a penalty flag. You know, if something's really genuine, we'll remark on that. If something is sort of in between, we just kind of move along or whatever. But we'll give an opportunity to see if some other things begin to surface. And you guys will have the discernment about who to nurture in this as people start coming forward, to be able to say, you know, you're really firing on all cylinders with this. That was really, really good. Sometimes there'll be a mistake. I mean, one of the priests called and said, there's a guy in his church. He said 2 weeks ago he had a prophetic word at the end of the communion service. The people were just, it was breathtaking. It was so powerful and so amazing. Then last week he had another word that was sort of, nobody could even remember what he said. So what's the deal? I said, he's learning. So remember the rules. If it's from God, affirm it. If it's from the flesh, ignore it. If it's from the devil, rebuke it. But just welcome it. Encourage God to speak to the people and through the people. I think, yes. But what I would say is, when that's being introduced, the best way to do it is somebody can write something down and, you know, slip it to the clergy, and they can say, we will talk about this later, or, you know, oh my gosh, this is so clearly from the Lord, you know, we'll share it now. Or if there is a time where, at the end of communion, to say, I kind of feel like somebody has a word from the Lord. Does somebody have something to share? And then usually there'll be somebody who said they were on the brink of that, whatever. I would wait maybe 5 years down the road in the middle of a service to have an interjection of something. Let's be more comfortable and confident in getting it right before we do that. But passing a word to the clergy, you know, a written word or note, or at the end of the service, say, here's what I got, what do you think? And then come back the next week. Or if there's a time at the end of a service to give an invitation, feel like somebody's got a word from God for us today. Anybody feeling that? You know, what's brewing? Somebody's got something going on. It just, when the body is open, there's kind of a pregnant sense that there's a word about to come. And so you can pause and give an invitation for that to happen. But to begin with, I would say when there's an invitation for it, or write something down, get it to the clergy if you think it's for right now, or after the service for the next week, whatever. But even in a liturgical service, it can be done. But you just have to develop more facility with it. I would say in the quiet time at the close of communion is often a time where churches will have some encouraging words that will surface.
I think there's something to be said, too, to having, for people who are open to it and interested in growing in the Spirit and the ministry of the Holy Spirit, is having, a 7-week meeting, Bible study type thing, where on the 6th week you actually pray over people. It was called the Life in the Spirit. That was through a number of denominations, very popular 30, 40 years ago, because that way it gets people grounded in the Scriptures and understanding the ministry of the Holy Spirit, and then they can build on that. And what's nice about it is it's offered to people who are interested rather than necessarily, because this isn't for everybody. We want to be sensitive to that, but certainly that would be another avenue in addition to the ones you mentioned. Yeah. I'm thinking out loud.
That's a great one. Life in the Spirit was amazing. It actually gave birth to the whole Roman Catholic Charismatic movement.
Yeah.
So tens of thousands of people went through Life in the Spirit.
Yeah, I went through it. I was in seventh grade, so it had a huge impact on my life. And that would be another thing to look at.
But remember, any time we're talking about supernatural power, it will always be in line with Scripture, and it will always be cooperative with the spiritual authority of that place. So if it's out of, not under authority, or it's not scriptural, no.
Thank you. So thanks for everybody coming out. Appreciate you've been blessed, I'm sure. We'll continue this certainly on Sunday and tomorrow night at the 4:30 service. And so I'd ask the bishop if he could close us in prayer.
Indeed. Father, we thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit that you give to us and the willingness that people have to be open to you. We ask, Lord, that you would release a river. Like John the 23rd prayed for a new Pentecost among your people. We pray for that here at St. Bart's, Lord, that we would see the power of the Holy Spirit released in us and released through us. Pray that even tonight, as people pray with you as they go to bed, that many new people would come into prayer languages and would hear affirming words from you of your love for them. We pray for your mantle of peace over every family, every person here. Safety as we go to our places of rest and homes. We thank you for the gift of this weekend together and ask now, Father, that you would send us with your blessing, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. See you later.